All right, anyway, you want an introduction? Let's see, who are we? We are, I'm Ken Hankey, the movie reviewer for the Mountain Express, and you are...
I'm Justin Sowler, the film critic for the Mountain Express.
He's so much more posh than me. And we are coming to you, more or less live at the time we're recording it anyway, from the Cinema Lounge.
Makes no sense.
We could be recording it dead.
You might.
It might be a whole Ouija board trick of Steve's. You don't know.
Weekend at Hankey's.
In any case, we are coming to you from the Cinema Lounge.
I've propped Ken up.
At the Carolina, which is located...
off Hendersonville Road.
Yes.
In sunny South Asheville.
And as per usual, we've seen movies. And we're here to...
discuss them.
Discuss them and tell you the sad news about most of what's in the cinemas right now.
What have we watched, Ken? What do you want to talk about?
I don't care.
For once.
You pick something.
I can complain about Green Lantern.
Why don't you complain about Green Lantern? That would be a good opening.
Well, a better opening would be Jodie Foster's Beaver. But we'll get to that later.
Well, maybe you will.
Nevertheless.
Uh-huh.
So, the latest comic book movie, Green Lantern.
Yes.
Came out Friday. And it's boring. Which is pretty much the gist of it. I mean, it's not bad. There's much worse comic book movies, but...
are there any that are more boring?
Not that I've seen. And it has that basic superhero first movie problem where we have to sit through 90 minutes of origin.
Do we really care
about that? Well, his is pretty simple. This alien crashes on Earth and gives him a ring that gives him superpowers.
That should cover
it right
there.
Instead of going and doing stuff with his ring, he sits around and like questions whether he should have this ring. Which, I don't know about you, if an alien gave you a super ring, you probably just wouldn't sit on your ass. Or just like forget that. Like, he doesn't even bother to like do anything with it. Like, he just, it's on his finger.
On what part of the body does this ring go?
On his finger.
Oh, okay. Had a moment.
Yes, well,
yeah.
I'm sure you did. So, yeah, it's dumb. It's boring.
Does the movie itself look as cartoonish as the trailer does and the stills?
I guess, but I think that could have worked in its advantage if they had sort of embraced it as this goofy, like, Flash Gordon sort of movie, but they don't, like, they don't do anything with it. It's just, he flies around sometimes and does some stuff at the end of the movie.
Says Shazam. No, he doesn't say Shazam. Okay. That's Captain Marvel.
This ring doesn't even tell his mood.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
You have nothing more to say to us about that?
No.
Well.
Everyone will have forgotten this movie existed till the sequel comes out.
Oh, well, yeah. That's...
which I'm sure they'll make because they're idiots.
Well,
I know it made $50 million, but it cost $200. They'll probably...
which means it needs to make about $400 in order to break even.
Though I will say the sequel will be better just because Mark Strong will be the bad guy in it. Even though all he plays is bad guys anymore. Anyway, what are we going to talk about now?
Apparently Steve wants to talk about L'Amour Fou.
Okay. Does this have anything to do with super-powered aliens?
Well, that might be one description of Yves Saint Laurent.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, it's a perfectly fine, perfectly nice documentary about Yves Saint Laurent and his boyfriend, Pierre Berger. And, you know, here's the thing about it. When it comes right down to it, your mileage for this movie is going to depend almost entirely on how much you like fashion, how much you like people collecting art, and how much you like people who live in really nice houses that you could never afford, and you like to look at those houses. That's, you know, it's like a combination of a fashion magazine and an architectural digest come to life. And, you know, I was entertained by it. It has the usual documentary problem of, oh yeah, it could lose 20 minutes easily and it would be just fine and possibly better. It has at least has a framework, which is all built around Berger selling off all their stuff after Saint Laurent died. So, you know, I mean, it's fine if you're interested in the subject matter. If you're not interested in the subject matter, I can't imagine that you're going to get that much mileage out of this thing. So, you want to ask me about Mr. Popper and his penguins?
Well, I'm going to have to, I guess.
Well, go ahead.
I guess I'm required. How was Mr. Popper's penguins?
Pretty smelly.
Is it anything like your favorite book?
Well, it's not my favorite book. It was probably my favorite book. No. I think my favorite book of childhood, was The Pink Motel. Make of that what you will. But I did like...
Are they going to make that into a movie?
I doubt it very seriously. It would be one of those things where, yes, I would be on there talking about how they had just raped my childhood. Yes. No, and I don't even care that they raped my childhood with Mr. Popper. The thing about it is that it has no relation to the book.
It's just penguins.
It's got penguins. It's got a guy named Popper. It has a solution to part of the problem to be to open the doors and windows and let the snow come in to get them through the winter.
Right.
It doesn't go far enough to get to anything further than that. Okay. And it kind of has a conclusion that is based on the book without actually being the same thing as the book. Other than that, no, it's not related at all. I mean, it is not some Arctic explorer fan who is sent a penguin as a present by Admiral Byrd or somebody like that. I think it's Admiral Byrd. And, you know, instead this is...
How do you mail a penguin?
Well, interesting. Well, it apparently can be done. You send them in a crate as a live animal.
Okay.
You know, but in this case, it's
in an envelope.
Yes. If you put the penguin in a really cold envelope and mail it fast. Now, in this case, it's Jim Carrey as a workaholic dad who has forgotten the true meaning of things.
Penguins?
Yes, like penguins. He's
forgotten the true meaning of penguins.
And he inherits a penguin that arrives packed in a case of dry ice. Apparently this evokes some sort of suspended animation. I don't know, because he thinks it's a stuffed penguin at first, and then it comes to life and bites him.
Is it hilarious?
Yes, and then he tries to return the penguin, and the guy on the other end of the line doesn't understand English very well, and he thinks that he wants him to send him more penguins, so he gets five more. And this becomes a problem because his semi-estranged son thinks they're a birthday present. So his family likes them, and it's tedious. The penguins are cute. They're obviously heavily CGI'd to do things that penguins would not allow to have done in their contract.
Well,
I've seen worse Jim Carrey movies. That's not really, you know, when a man has made The Grinch, it's not hard to find movies that he's in that are better. And again, there's Ace
Ventura. So you're recommending it?
No, I'm saying
that you enjoyed it.
No, I did not enjoy it. I just didn't hate it. I would never want to see it again.
So how is this worse than having to watch Judy Moody?
I don't know. I didn't watch Judy Moody.
Exactly.
But I had to watch this right after I had sat through Jodie Foster's Beaver.
Well, that's what you get for sitting in Jodie Foster's Beaver.
Yeah, didn't you have a specific question you wanted to ask me?
No, you have to set it up by saying you don't like the movie.
Well, I don't like the movie. It's a silly movie.
Did it leave a bad taste in your mouth? Did Jodie Foster's Beaver leave a bad taste in your mouth, Ken?
Yes.
That was how you're supposed to set it up. And so now it's ruined. My tasteless joke.
Maybe he can fix it.
He can't. It's irreparable.
Yeah, so is your brain. The funny thing about the beaver is, yes, it's a really stupid premise. Right. And it's an odd premise. But there's nothing else about the movie really that's odd until it turns into richest melodrama of the horror film kind, where the beaver starts taking over Mel Gibson and is controlling him.
Well, knowing what we know about Mel Gibson, this is probably a good thing, what do you think?
Well, it probably would be, except that he takes issue with it and trashes his son's already trashed bedroom, which
the beaver does, or Mel Gibson does?
Mel Gibson takes issue with the beaver being in charge, is the problem. It makes him ultimately unhappy.
So it's... Could you do a socialist reading of this film?
Probably.
The beaver's the man?
Yes. Except that the beaver is attached to the man's
hand. He's leeching off.
Yes, but he's the man's hand. I mean, because the man... I mean, Mel Gibson is the man.
Is the man.
He's the CEO.
Capital.
Well,
I'm trying to make this more interesting than it is.
You can't. I want to know what kind of building code allows you to have an exterior wall that consists of wallboard, fiberglass insulation, and the outside shingle.
I don't believe that is
legal anywhere. But Anton Yelchin has put a hole in the wall by banging his head against it.
And he goes through the entire wall?
Yes. And then the room gets in much worse shape when Mel Gibson and the beaver have a slugfest, which is pretty funny to watch a man fight his own left hand. But this doesn't get rid of the beaver. Oh, no. The beaver is still firmly adhered to that left hand. So he goes downstairs and builds a little coffin.
Right.
I mean, it's a really...
You
never actually see how that works out.
So therefore, the beaver is helping
all
him.
The beaver is helping him.
So it's much more tragic
than
you're reading
it,
Tim.
And it's not just like a little box. I mean, it's an actual side, you know...
Right.
It's a primo coffin. It's a really
well,
nice...
Well, obviously the beaver had help.
Yes, well, it would seem that way.
So it's either had to trick the beaver, go, oh, no, this is not a coffin for you.
Oh,
this
no,
is for
this,
someone
is,
else.
This is a coffin for some other really small creature.
Or the beaver knew... He had to go.
Well, then why didn't the beaver just... Well, yeah, but without revealing how he gets the beaver off his hand.
I don't know. I haven't seen it, Ken.
Maybe you should go catch it before it vanishes, which
maybe
is doing
just watch
very
the
quickly.
End of it.
No, you have to go in about 30 minutes from the end because it doesn't... There's a bunch of goop afterwards.
Okay.
And reconciliation and... Mel Gibson back to swearing at people drunkenly. No, actually, he's getting better in the loony bin at the end of it. So,
well, good.
You know, it tries to be uplifting after. It just isn't good.
Well,
leave it at that. Nobody wants to see this damn thing. Nobody went to see this damn thing.
Do you think that's Mel Gibson's fault, or the fact that it's a bad movie?
I'd say it's a really good combination effect.
What is happening in this space, Ken?
Movie.
On Thursday.
A movie.
What?
The Thursday Horror Picture Show.
Yes. At what time?
At 8 o'clock.
For how much?
For free.
Oh,
free.
That's sweet of
costs
us.
Costs you nothing. And what are we showing?
Showing David Cronenberg's Videodrome.
Well, why don't you tell us something about that?
Well, I know you reviewed it once. In the first sentence you say what happens to James Woods. I tried not to say what happened to James Woods in my review of the film, which is in this week's Mountain Express. All over Asheville, you can find it anywhere to review.
But don't read mine because it'll tell you what happens to him.
Okay, because I don't know. I want to be here with people not knowing what happens.
The people who don't know what happened don't read the reviews, I don't think.
Go ahead. We don't know. Anyway, it came right after Scanners, before The Fly, so it's right... this is probably the movie. I think we both agree this is the movie where Cronenberg
This is the movie where Cronenberg actually got a release that got some pretty heavy advertising on television.
Right. It's also the first time like he made.
But I think the trick there mm-hmm. was Deborah Harry was hot right then.
Right.
And having her in the film got the film mentioned in ways that, you know, it would not have otherwise
right.
been.
But to that point, you would agree that it's his best film.
It may still be his best film. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely till that point I would give it as his best film.
But it's, how would you describe this movie?
I don't want to describe it. I might give something away, okay. So you describe it.
It's pretty fucked up, in a way. But not in like, it's disturbing, but not like off-putting, I don't think. It's just bizarre. It's Cronenberg.
Yeah, but it's disturbing in a deeply disturbing way that doesn't really let go of you at the end.
No.
It's still disturbing.
Right. But it's still sort of, it has that weird, like, Cronenberg, I want to call it playfulness, but he's so, like, has this weird detached nature. In
well, yeah, he's kind of, like, yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, that definitely.
And you can't really
that.
Tell if all this just amuses the hell out of him.
I think it or, does.
Okay. It has to.
So. Any movie. Never mind. Okay.
Any movie where what happens to James Wood
happens to James Wood. Yeah, it would definitely.
You should just watch it to see what happens to James Wood.
You should. Yes.
And if you've seen it, you should watch it again.
And an ending, which is an absolute beautiful mind fuck.
Well, the whole movie is like
you but that ending is particularly that's primo.
It's true. So
you should come see it. And if you don't
we
like it,
we haven't told you anything about what it's about.
No, but no, not a thing, and we're not going to. I can see Steve sitting there going, "He's going to tell us the plot." No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to. I won't give him the satisfaction.
And then Tuesday at 8 in the cinema lounge,
same place. Remarkable.
What do we have?
We have Joseph von Sternberg's The Last Command with Emil Jannings and Evelyn Brent.
This is
and
a Film Society screening.
And William Powell. And this is a Film Society screening, which has something in common with the Thursday Horror Picture Show screenings, and that is what? It's...
Free?
Free.
I already mentioned it was free.
Oh, okay.
Keep up.
I can't pay any attention to what you're saying and think of what I'm saying at the same time. What do you think of this as a conversation?
Sometimes I wonder.
I can understand that. Anyway, this is...
A movie?
No.
It's not a movie?
It is a movie, yes. But this is...
If it's not a movie, I don't know where we're going to watch it. At the Film Society.
Bite me. This is Sternberg's... Really, it's his fourth movie.
Okay.
The first one doesn't get shown very much. The second one, Chaplin suppressed, and supposedly either he or Una Chaplin destroyed it.
Wow.
The third one is Underworld, which was actually his first big commercial hit.
It was the one with the werewolves and the vampires?
Yes.
Fighting
yes.
each other?
No, actually, this was the...
They colorized that, right?
That's right. This really is the in all serialness, this uh-huh. really is the first genuine gangster picture. But I went with the film afterwards for our first Sternberg silent because it's more fluid. And it has that... There's a Underworld has the problem of being. I mean, Underworld's a good film. Don't get me wrong, but it has the problem of being one of those movies that is kind of a typical American silent, in that the camera doesn't move very much, and it gets kind of pokey in some respects because of this. Something had happened in between Underworld and The Last Command, which was essentially two movies had come out. Paul Lenny's Cat and the Canary, and more importantly, would be Sunrise had come out. And I suppose Seventh Heaven would also figure into that, I suppose, to some degree. And those are the movies that really freed up what people did with the camera. And it's very hard to think of Sternberg and a non-mobile camera. And the minute that he found out or got clued in by these movies or turned on by them to the fact that you can move the camera around, he never really stopped afterwards. And it's a typical Sternberg tale. It's full of irony. It's about a deposed Russian general who is reduced to, he has a bad nervous tick and where his head shakes all the time, and he has been reduced to living in Hollywood and working as an extra in movies when he can get a role. And it just so happens that the director of this film sees his picture, and it's a Russian Revolution story, and the director, who is his William Powell's part, turns out to have been on the other side of the revolution and knows the general very well. And the bulk of the film, the center part of the film, it involves the story in Russia. In fact, most of the film takes place there. And his relationship with the director, his relationship with the director's maybe kind of girlfriend, Evelyn Brent. And she's sort of like the silent film version of what Marlene Dietrich would become in his talkies. It's compelling entertainment, and you should come see it.
What's coming up this weekend?
Oh,
tell us,
well,
inform everyone.
There's Cars 2.
Yes, which you're not watching.
No.
But I am.
You are.
Under this flimsy premise that you don't watch things with Larry the Cable Guy.
No.
That's what you were saying.
I said, I don't watch things with Larry the Cable Guy if I can get out of it, and in this case, I think I can. However, I understand that there is a new live-action Larry the Cable Guy movie, which is in production.
That's not going to make it to theaters.
I'm hoping not.
That's straight to DVD.
I should certainly hope so. But some of his crap has made it into theaters.
Not anymore. It's not going to happen.
I hope you're right. I hope you are so right.
It'll play the Carmike.
Yes, well. In any case, Cars 2 is the
Electric Boogaloo.
Yes, that's the really big picture this week. And
hopefully they'll explain what's under their hoods, because I'm assuming it's their face, like the inside of their face.
I would think so, but I don't know. And then there is, of course, Cameron Diaz in Bad Teacher, which apparently attempts to do for teachers what Bad Santa did for Kris Kringle. The only thing I have
nothing.
To say, yeah, pretty much nothing, was I didn't like Bad Santa.
Right.
So I can't say that I'm exactly ecstatic about this, but the trailer looks fairly funny, which is more than I can say for the trailer for Bad Santa. The big thing locally this week is, of course, Terrence Malick's Tree of Life.
Right.
And that was supposed to be the big picture on the art house circuit this summer, but they didn't take into account the fact that Midnight in Paris was going to beat the crap out of it at the box office. It still may be in the art realm.
Right.
Because Midnight in Paris has pretty much crossed over into being a mainstream film at this point.
This looks boring to me.
It looks boring to me, too, but
an important.
I'm sure it is important.
Kind of.
I'm not that fond of Malick, and Malick is usually boring to me, so I'm prepared. I'm primed. But I'm curious.
Well, I'm sure. I hope you understand how important a film it is.
I'm sure if I don't, there are people, one in particular, who will tell me.
Yes.
So, anyway, that's pretty much what opens.
All right, let's send it off.
Have you had enough?
Yes.
Ah, we've both had enough. Therefore, it behooves us to say that
I'm Justin Salinger, Ken Henke,
we're
film critics.
Reviewers for the Mount Express. Yes. Well, film critics, excuse me. For
you
the
can
Mount
review
Express.
Movies if you want, but
whatever.
I'm going to criticize films. That's all I'm going to do.
I know. I understand.
Just be critical of film.
Of film. In general.
Yes.
Yes. And we work for the Mountain Express.
Yes.
And are brought to you.
Have given us this soapbox. Too.
This to talk bad about movies, or in Justin's case, films. Yeah, and
or cinema.
Cinema. Oh yes, so that would be even better. And the program is produced, cohered, and dealt with by the Colonel Miami Steve Schoenfeld Esquire, who
is drawing a vampire on his paper. He's doodling.
Is doodling rather than doing any sort of cohering, and therefore does not deserve any of the blandishments I usually place on him. I think that is
some sort of cat.
I think it's
a ghost cat.
A ghost cat, yes. And in any case, that does it for this week.
Yep.